And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. I am joined here, well, by phone, all of a sudden, by MU's Associate Professor of Voice, Stephen Tharp. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, considering the circumstances.
But, right.
hanging in there.
Right. So what we're doing is I'm having some members of the faculty come on and talk about some of their favorite pieces and the things that are special to them and, you know, are going to get a lot of listens during a time when we're all apart. But what I think part of what makes music so great is that it can be such a great unifier. And I thought it'd be fun to talk about a piece and then we would listen to it together here on the show. And I just think it's fun to do. And Stephen had a piece that he wanted to talk about. And I'm just going to go ahead and let you go, Stephen. What piece is it?
Well, my choice for the very reasons you're talking about, specifically, well, because I love it, but specifically for this particular time, is the Edward Elgar First Symphony, the Symphony in A flat major, Opus 55. Which was premiered in Manchester, UK, in 1908, and which has just become one of my favorite pieces and explores some things which I think are very appropriate and relevant to the situation we're in right now.
So what moves you about the piece?
The piece itself, it's about a 50-minute symphony, in most performances. You know, Robert Schumann said that the Schubert Ninth Symphony was like a novel in four volumes. Well, this is a novel in four somewhat lengthy volumes. And like the Mahler symphonies or the last three Tchaikovsky symphonies, there seems to be a through line, not just to each movement, but to the symphony as a whole, a poetic or thematic idea. Not really a program. In fact, Elgar said, "There is no program beyond a wide experience of human life with a great charity, parentheses love, and a massive hope in the future." He, writing as he did in 1908, this comes just a few years before the First World War, mm-hmm. which would do so much to cause disillusionment and negativity throughout the century. And I see this symphony as sort of that last sort of burst of hope before a very dark time. But it's not all Pollyanna-ish. I mean, there's hope in the symphony, but there's a lot of struggle in the symphony as well. And I could go into some of the musical things that he does to portray that struggle, but I'm just very moved by the balance of darkness and light in the symphony, hopeful moods and very violent and negative themes as well, and how Elgar balances this to make a very emotional statement throughout a 50-minute symphony.
Hmm. What are your early memories of the piece? Like, how did you discover it?
I didn't come to the Elgar First Symphony until I was probably in my late 20s or early 30s. I'd heard a little bit of Elgar, but I sort of thought of him as a stuffy Victorian English composer who probably wouldn't have much to say to me, and, you know, jolly England and all that sort of stuff. And discovered I was quite wrong. He's an intensely emotional and emotionally powerful composer who has a lot to say to us today. The symphony, I don't remember. I think I got an LP of the Adrian Boult recording with the London Symphony and was listening to that, as I do with a lot of pieces that are new to me, sort of casually as I was doing other things. And gradually the music just crept up on me until after a few plays, I found myself unable to do anything but to sit and listen to it because it was such a powerful experience.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique piece in a lot of ways. I mean, are there a lot of other symphonies in A flat major? I don't know of a lot of other works.
I can think of
that use that key.
A flat's an unusual key, true. I mean, Schubert uses A flat a lot, and he uses it for some of his most emotional and moving songs. I once wrote a blog post that I called Schubert and the A-flatness of life because Schubert loved that key and, as I say, used it constantly in the songs. But it's an unusual key for a symphony.
Yeah. Is there a particular movement that that tends to grab you of the four?
No, not really. The first movement, of course, introduces the motto theme that goes throughout the piece. He states it at the very beginning. He states it twice, once quietly, and then with the full orchestra, with the melody singing out on the strings. And then he goes on to the rest of his musical material in the first movement, which is mostly filled with a lot of violence and a lot of strife. Mm-hmm. But this noble theme keeps peeking back in as if to say, you know, with all this negative stuff in life, there's still this ideal. There's still this one glimmer of hope. And the second movement is sort of a scherzo. It has a really bustling theme in the violins. And is a little bit lighter in tone. But then he plays with augmentation, which is slowing down the theme, but keeping the same intervals. And finally, then, as the second movement becomes the third, they're played together without a break, the third movement is exactly the same as the scherzo melody, but slowed down about 10 times.
Huh.
And becomes this gorgeous, lyrical melody that's absolutely the equal of anything Rachmaninoff ever composed in terms of just sheer beauty. And then that becomes a very moving, slow movement, which Hans Richter, the conductor of the premiere, said had not been equaled as a slow movement since the days of Beethoven, which is quite a claim. Because Beethoven knew a thing or two about writing slow movements.
Well, Hans Richter, it was dedicated to him as well, correct?
Yes, it was. It was dedicated to him. So he felt a special affinity for it. The final movement is maybe the most special to me because it's after the comforts and the sort of consolation of the slow movement, the theme that starts the last movement is sort of like waking up after a beautiful dream. And it's a gray morning, and it's nothing hopeful, and it's just dreary, and the melody is sort of a slow march that just sounds like it has no hope or no energy in it at all. And what's amazing about this is he transforms this first into something very energetic, but also rather threatening, and then later in the movement, he transforms it into the same theme that was dreary and uninspiring into a gorgeous melody on the strings. So this throughout the symphony, there's this idea of transforming negative things into positive things and seeing both sides of the coin. And I just find that just tremendously great.
Especially right now.
Yeah, especially right now. Thinking about getting ready for this interview, I listened to it again last night and was just as moved as I always am.
That's fantastic. If there was a particular movement that we could play here, because unfortunately I only have an hour on the program, I can't play the entirety of the work, but I can certainly play a movement from it. Which one should we choose, and what should we listen for?
I think you have to choose the last movement because I think it will whet people's imaginations to hear the entire piece. And you should listen for the gloominess of the opening and the sort of lack of hope or energy at the beginning and how that becomes, first of all, kind of a violent negative energy. And then gradually, suddenly, in the middle of the movement, becomes sheer beauty. And then at the end of the movement, the famous the motto theme that he used in the first movement comes back, and there are all these crashing dissonances against the beautiful motto movement, as if to say that, you know, it's like walking peacefully through a situation where there's all this negative stuff all around you, and you just keep walking straight, and it's with hope. It's a bad description that I'm giving, but wow, when you experience it in the music, it's just terrific.
Well, that absolutely sounds great, and we'll play the fourth movement of Elgar's First Symphony in A-flat major coming up now right here on Mizzou Music. Stephen, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy remote teaching schedule and coming on and telling us about this piece and giving us something to listen to together as a community here on Mizzou Music.
It's my pleasure, Aaron. I hope everybody enjoys it.